Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. Okay, so I know I said you were on your own for Saturday news, but apparently I can't skip even one day without something disastrous happening in 2020, so we'll have to cover at least the big news item from yesterday. Let's get on with it. Unfortunately, what we were afraid of on Friday came to pass the very next day. Trump signed the executive orders he was threatening, though they're much worse than he is leading people to believe. Let's break it down. On the UI bonus, Trump is advertising a $400 extension until the end of the year, but it's actually left to the state to pay $100 of that. And when pressed, Trump said, quote, "We have a system where we can do 100% or we can do 75%. They pay 25% and it will depend on the state. And they will make an application. We will look at it and we'll make a decision," end quote. According to CNN, quote, "On top of that, a state must agree to enter into this financial agreement with the federal government for any unemployed person living there to get any of the additional benefits," end quote. If this is correct, it sounds like any state that can't magically find funds in their depleted budget for the $100 get no UI bonus at all, and worse, it sounds like Trump gets to decide what states get aid regardless, setting the stage for a quid pro quo and dictatorial revenge on a massive scale. Furthermore, the states will have to design a whole new system for these UI bonuses because the funding is not coming from Congress, meaning more massive delays and application issues at best, and many states already are saying they can't make it work. Lastly, according to the memorandum, an individual can only receive the $300 federal benefit if he or she first qualifies for $100 in aid from their state. Evermore, one of the nation's leading experts on unemployment, told CNN this will cut out a large group of people, and that she considered the chances of this effort helping many of the newly unemployed to be very low. As for evictions, CNN says, quote, "The executive action signed by Trump does not reinstate the previous moratorium on evictions. The new measure only states that the Secretary of Health and Human Services and the Director of the CDC shall consider whether any measures temporarily halting residential evictions of any tenants for failure to pay rent are reasonably necessary to prevent the further spread of COVID-19. No money is set aside to help homeowners or renters," end quote. Again, it sounds like empty promises and Trump in charge of who does or doesn't get what aid there will be. On to payroll taxes. The payroll tax EO does not actually reduce the payroll taxes. It only defers the due date for the portion of those taxes paid by employees, which is 6.2% for Social Security and 1.45% for Medicare, through December 31st. Importantly, according to CNN, it does not mandate that employers stop collecting these taxes, and many will continue to do so as they will expect them to be due at the end of the year and prefer to keep drawing them continuously until then. Worse, Trump said that if he's reelected, he will seek to make the deferments into permanent cuts to the payroll taxes, a bald-faced attempt to bribe voters with pandemic relief currently being held hostage. But the power to change that tax lies with Congress, making this yet another misleading promise. If not that, then it's even worse, an implication that he intends to get away with violating constitutional separation of powers, which he is already trying to undermine with these orders. Furthermore, if the deferments were to be turned into tax cuts, they would also remove funding for Social Security and Medicare, which are currently funded from those taxes specifically. On to student loans. Trump's EO here would extend the federal student loan and interest moratorium to the end of the year. Democrats have pushed for extending the relief for another year and making private student loans eligible as well, but have been blocked in the Senate. In March, Trump waived student loan interest by executive order and said borrowers could request a deferment on their payments. Congress later codified that policy into law and took it a step further by automatically suspending monthly payments. In summary, none of Trump's orders go nearly as far as the stimulus the House has been pushing for, and the Senate has been stonewalling, and only his student loans EO does what he claims. All the rest basically amount to suggestions rather than mandates, and seem to give him power to pick who gets aid, which is horrifying if true. I do want to state here that I have not seen the actual documents, as I could not find them anywhere, including the executive order registry, which has yet to be updated. It would sure be nice if any of the real journalists would cite their sources. But the scarier issue here is that Trump is attempting to circumvent the constitutional right of Congress to control federal spending. He is violating the spirit, if not also the letter, of constitutional separation of power by attempting to pull funding from other places like FEMA and the CARES Act to fulfill essentially new legislation, in addition to manipulating taxes. Add that to the dictator red flags, along with all the partisan and personal dissemination of federal aid baked into these orders. Still worse, Trump has laid a trap for Democrats, similar to the one we talked about with his potential play to delay the election. The Republican Senate is already bowing down to Trump's violations of law and democracy. They will do nothing and will likely refuse to pass real stimulus now. If the Democrats attempt to repeal the orders which threaten constitutional law, Trump will paint the Dems as evil for stealing relief from the people after failing to provide it in the first place, making himself out to be the hero and Dems out as heartless partisans. Or, if they don't defend the Constitution, then he will steal power for the executive, furthering his march down the fascist road. Win-win for him, lose-lose for America. The sickest part of this is how many, in ignorance, will cheer him for it. As Scott said in a tweet today, linking the clip from Star Wars where Palpatine took control of the Senate, "This is how democracy dies," to thunderous applause. It's also very possible that we get no further stimulus now, including the stimulus checks, and I don't see a solution from this trap other than to make it clear to the public that his executive orders are riddled with holes, that he's making a play to undermine constitutional law, and that the Republican Senate are the ones preventing real stimulus from passing, refusing even to compromise. But from what I've seen so far, Democrats are incredibly piss poor at marketing and framing, so I have very little confidence that they can pull that off. It is looking like very dark days at the moment, and Trump has found a way to make it worse once again. Moving on from dystopia, Scott shared an incredible collection of UBI books today that you'll probably want to bookmark and pursue to learn more and refer others to. Might make a great gift registry. Link below. Washington, D.C. has joined the UBI march. Has your city? If not, get it up there at the link below. The Movement for Black Lives is hosting the next virtual Black National Convention on August 28th to build support for Black political power and policy. Check the link below for more details. Blair Walsingham has come out with a whole list of UBI discussions between Blair and special guests for the week, which you can see at the link below. Monday, August 10th, is comedian and activist Trey Crowder. Tuesday is former Republican U.S. Senate candidate from Montana, Dan Larson, as well as the Fireside Chat with Yang. Wednesday is with Scott Santons. Thursday is with social worker, social policy analyst, and writer Diane Pagin. Friday is with author of Our Future, The Basic Income Plan, Stephen Schifarman. And Saturday is with philosopher and UBI advocate Carl Witterquist. What a lineup! Yang and Suzanne Hugg will be hosting a fundraiser and discussion on Turning Arizona Blue on August 14th. Donations go to Humanity Forward, link below. The host of the podcast, Left and Lefter, just announced that he convinced his co-host to support UBI. I'm not familiar with the podcast myself, other than that it's a self-described leftist political podcast discussing the current news and events from the ideological perspectives of a moderate Democrat and a Democratic socialist. But anyone supporting UBI is worth looking into, right? Though maybe enter at your own peril if you're coming from the right. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Spread the facts and dangers of Trump's executive orders. Bookmark the big library. Join the UBI march. Tune in for Blair's talks. Help recruit other organizations to the cause and get everyone to sign the UBI petitions. Flood Congress and Trump with calls, tweets, and letters using the ResistBot or Income Movement easy contacts below. If you need financial help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, United Way, or the H3 podcast thread. And don't forget to Yang Daily.